For the purpose of this message this morning, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It also is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. And that is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I want to lift up one verse from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1. It's the focus of our thought today. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. This morning, I want to share with the family and friends of the Mount Olivet Baptist Church from the thought, are you drifting away? Are you drifting away? My brothers and sisters, the Lenten season is upon us. It is that time in the Christian calendar when we reflect on Christ's 40-day fast in the wilderness. It has always been a time of penance and reflection. Some denominations encourage their members to sacrifice a luxury during these 40 days to remind them of Christ's sacrifice. We talk about what we might give up for Lent. Some give up certain foods like meat or fast food or sweets. We talk about giving up habits like shopping or listening to certain music or give up watching TV. And the new one is a social media fast. Stop signing in to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, just to name a few. We give up these things only to return to them and return to doing them after the Lenten season. If we are honest, there are things that we should give up, not just for 40 days, but permanently. However, I would like to suggest doing more than giving up. I believe this is a season to add in. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you during this Lenten season to add in more devotional time, add in more time for prayer, add in more time for God. Lent is a time to contemplate our own faithfulness to the Lord. The greatest challenge you and I face as Christians is the charge to be faithful. Even though the scripture teaches us that devotion is our duty, we often find it hard to remain demonstrably committed to the cause of Christ. We claim to love the Lord, but we have a hard time showing it. Faith is demonstrated by works, not just by the sacrifices we make and the service we give, but also by the way we live. Let me say that again. Faith is demonstrated by works, not just by the sacrifices we make and the service we give, but also by the way we live our lives. It is not just our physical works that prove our faith. It is also our spoken words and the choices we make in secret. In other words, it's not just an outward thing. It is an inward thing. Immediately after Jesus was baptized by John. He was led by the Spirit of God into the desert alone to be tested. Some wrongly teach that this was God's test of Jesus' obedience. But that was not necessary, since it was impossible for Jesus to sin. The wilderness experience had another purpose. Its purpose was to test Christ's endurance for the difficult ministry that lay ahead. And I stop by to remind all of us that we are all tested. Life tests us daily. And that is why Hebrews warns us to earnestly heed what we have heard or been taught. Still, it is tough. For example, we have heard that it is wise to bridle our tongues, but we let stuff slip. We have heard that we should love one another, but we are selective. We have heard that we should help the needy, but we have needs or wants too. We have heard that we should pray often, but we are busy people. We have heard that we should let our light shine, but we do not have time to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. During this season of Lent, it is wise for you and I to take an account of our faith, to evaluate where we stand along the straight and narrow road, to calculate whether we need to make some spiritual adjustments to our walk and our talk, and to reassess our ability to endure like good soldiers. Endurance, that is the true test of Christianity. It is our, and I like this word, it is our stick-to-itiveness that's being tested. And believe me, these are some trying times, as we have not been able to go back and forth to our church building, and thank God we're able to have worship along the airways. And so, along with all the other life tests and trials and tribulations, we have to deal with this pandemic. And so I raised the question, are you drifting away? Let us take a closer look at our own wilderness tests through the eyes of Christ. Jesus endured the same three tests in the wilderness that Eve faced in the Garden of Eden. They were physical, appetite, personal gain, and power. Let me say that again. Those tests were physical appetite, personal gain, and power. Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. So the first test we want to look at is the one dealing with physical appetite. Satan tried to get Jesus to act independently of his Father by tapping into a weak moment of fasting. Turn these stones into bread was the challenge. But Jesus knew that God intended for him to experience hunger as a test of endurance. If Jesus were to submit to Satan's suggestions and satisfy his hunger, he would be going against the will of God. Every Christian goes through this endurance test, as our Father God has a purpose for all of our lives, whether young or old. He has a preordained path for each of us. And our choice is to follow his path or go it alone and risk separating ourselves or drifting away from his will. Our Christian journey is a test of our endurance. Our choices should never be based solely on filling our bellies or our barns, but rather on God's desire for us. The word says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. How many Christians have drifted from their preordained path? Maybe you stepped off the path of honesty and landed in court. Maybe you stepped off the path of fidelity and hurt your marriage or relationships. Maybe you stepped off the path of charity and gained the world but lost your soul. Any direction that dishonors God is sin. Any weakness that wearies God is sin. And if you want to keep from drifting, follow Isaiah's advice when he says, God will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind and your focus on him. When I think about all that is going on in our lives, individually and collectively, our minds sometimes focus on the wrong thing. But Isaiah reminds us to put our focus on Jesus. Jesus responded to the test saying, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. Is your appetite drifting? The second wilderness test that we see in the text is one of personal gain. Satan suggested that Jesus cast himself from the high point of the temple and arrive in grand fashion to the delight of the Jews who believed the Messiah would visibly descend from the heavens. Satan taunted, what are you afraid of? The prophecy says you will not get hurt. God will not even let you dash your foot against a stone. Satan misquoted this prophecy in Psalm 91. It is true. The scripture does say in verse 11 and 12, for he shall give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Satan deliberately left out the important middle point. The prophecy promises to protect only those who follow the Lord's will, those who follow God in all your ways, in God's way. And that's a trick of the enemy that he is still pulling on us today. Satan wants to move us to be people pleasers rather than God pleasers. When you pray in church, Satan tempts you with the desire to use impressively eloquent words. When you preach or teach in church, Satan tempts you and I with compliments of our brilliance. When you give to charity, Satan tempts you with praise for your generosity. Watch what happens to people who allow their motives to become tainted. Their whole life's focus shifts from selfless to selfish. Jesus knew you cannot serve both God and man. King James Version says mammon. One of the two has to be the controlling force. Jesus chose obedience to God. He would be God's will over God, over his will. He responded to Satan from Deuteronomy 6 and 16, says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Satan is always tempting us. And we have to ask ourselves, are we drifting away? And the third and final wilderness test is one of power. Satan told Jesus, you can have all the kingdoms as far as your eye can see if you bow down and worship me. Satan knows that the temptation for fame and fortune bears down hard on a person's moral compass. The proof is in the souls strewn along the broad road to hell who lost the battle and succumbed to Satan. It is hard for a man to go to heaven when he allows himself to be tempted with heaven on earth. But all the temporary glitz, glamour, pomp, and power of this world is nothing compared to the everlasting glory found in God's heaven. You might think you want it all now, but look what you stand to lose. Eternal justification, eternal grace and mercy, eternal fellowship with God, eternal comfort and bliss, eternal heaven. The choice is clear. The risk of earthly toils or the guarantee of heavenly thrills. The struggles with earthly discord are the promise of heavenly harmony, the potential for earthly pain or the assurance of heavenly perfection, the risk of earthly poverty or the guarantee of heavenly wealth. Sure, you can have all the kingdoms of this world, but would you sacrifice your allegiance to God to get it? Christ would not. He told Satan, "Get behind me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve." In other words, away from me, Satan, for it is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." When Christ's endurance test was over, Satan took a walk, at least for the time being. He left. He knew he was defeated, but he would try again later at the Mount of Olives, and then again in the court of Pilate and Herod, and finally on Golgotha's hill. Satan never quits. But Christ passed the endurance test, and his resolve to faithfully wear the mantle of the Savior of the world gives us, who are the body of Christ, the strength to endure. Therefore, like the Hebrew writer says, we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Satan will not quit because he knows he has everything to lose. He may be the prince of this world, but his days are numbered. Do not let him cause you to drift away. Be on your guard against the wiles of the devil. Do not let yourself drift away. The source of sin is Satan. Do not let yourself drift away. The strategy of sin is to sink you. Do not let yourself drift away. The sentence of sin is separation. Do not let yourself drift away. The Savior of sinners offers us salvation. And so as we maneuver through this Lenten season, we must reflect and ask ourselves, are we drifting away? Are we putting our relationship with God on hold? Are we putting everything else in front of our relationship with the Lord? This is a great time for us to, again, add in more devotion, add in more time in prayer, and add in more time with God. The message of God for the people of God. Maybe there's someone on this call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to extend the invitation of salvation to you through the power of prayer. And I ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior, be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe this prayer that you have just prayed by faith, you are saved. If you have more questions about salvation or about your relationship with God, feel free to give myself a call, reach out to me, reach out to any of our deacons, reach out to any of our members, because we want to make sure that you grow in your relationship with Christ.